welcome back to this week's episode of the Get Off Your Chips podcast.
Hello, hello.
Get Hola. Off your chips.
Single ladies. So, girls.
Single ladies.
Well, speak for yourself. We are joined by a very, very special guest, someone that is dear to my heart, and I'm very excited to bring on the podcast. It's the one and only Chloe Chalk.
Best hello.
Small business, the businesswoman.
I was about to say, otherwise known as Chloe and Chloe.
Chloe and Chloe Mounts. Follow them on Insta. But yeah, we're going to be discussing all things starting your own small business, being a businesswoman. We're going to discuss some of your dilemmas with Chloe because she's got a very good opinion and she's someone that I turn to for sometimes the cold hard truth.
Exactly.
We're very excited to have
you. If you want someone to tell you how it is, Chloe and Chloe Mounts is the girl for the job.
Yeah.
Yes,
for sure.
I don't know if but that's a compliment.
Should give you a wax melt as well.
Yeah. So, all in all, not bad. Right, girl, should we get around to it?
Yeah, go for it, love.
Let's go. So, Chloe, if people that are listening don't know, you started your own wax melt business. So, how did it all start? Where did you get your inspiration? Where did it all begin?
I feel like I'm doing an interview. Gonna be rated. Okay, so I started home account during lockdown just because we were all bored. It was long. So started a home account, and that's the first time I kind of saw that people did wax melts and not candles. And to start with, I thought, why on earth would you not want a candle? And then I did a bit more research into it and the benefits and all that jazz. And I bought from a couple of people. And if I'm honest, I was just like appalled by the service. I thought, hang on a minute, I'm buying a product from you and you're well rude. So I thought to myself, I could do that. I don't know. That's where the idea came from anyway. And I spoke to Ryan and, you know, Mr. Positive told me not to bother. Absolutely not. Don't go for it. What's the point? What are you doing?
He's thinking his games room's going to be turned to a wax melt room.
Well, it actually did in the end. He got sent upstairs and I had to go for his room. That's where the idea came from, though. And then the more research I did into it, the more I realised sort of the benefits versus candles and, I don't know, just it seemed right on my street.
So obviously, start of lockdown, it's a bit of a shit time for a lot of businesses, but Chloe Chalk herself thought, you know what, I'm going to start a business during lockdown.
Let's twist the tables.
Tables are turned. What was that like, obviously starting it in such a kind of unstable time?
I mean, to be honest, there were a couple of things. First of all, I spent way too much money on decorating my house. So for me, it probably saved some money. I think with my company, I mean, everyone will be different, but there wasn't a lot of like fixed costs. So per month, it wasn't going to cost me a lot. So if I didn't sell anything, I wasn't really losing anything. So to do it as like a hobby would still be, do you know what I mean? It wouldn't cost a lot to do it if it was just a hobby and nobody wanted to buy them off of me. I'd just burn them myself. So it was a no-brainer. If it didn't work, then I just was left with a few candles, wax melts.
Did you find that the demand was there like right away? Like, did you find that as soon as you launched it, like everyone was like,
I was super shocked. I mean, to be fair, looking back on it, it makes sense because everybody was at home. And so like me, was spending an absolute fortune on their home. So I just sort of tapped into that. I'd love to say I was so clever to think that people would, but it came as a massive shock, to be honest. I thought I'd get support of friends and family and that kind of thing. I didn't think it would ever sort of be sustainable. It was more of like a hobby and I could just fund it through selling to friends and family and, you know, pity buys. In the first week, I think, because I did a bit of, you know, a sales forecast projections, if you will. And in the first week, I'd taken more than I thought I was going to in the first 3 months. I'd made all my money back within like 3 days, I think.
Wow. So, God love you.
Yeah, I mean, it's on a small scale. I'm not making millions, you know, don't get me wrong, but yeah.
When you are, hit me up, darling, I'll invest.
Yeah, I'll start, you know, I'll give you a job, mate.
So in terms of like, in terms of, because obviously we all follow you on Instagram. So when you started, you were doing a couple of teasers, weren't you, Chloe? A couple of teasers. You didn't give it all away at once. So was that just a freestyle or?
Yeah, no, I'm just doing things as I go. I think you just pick up with what, I mean, obviously you see what other people are doing, but you never know whether it works or not because you don't know how many sales they're getting from things. And I don't know, I'm just not one to like message people and be like, oh, did you do well? Did you not? I don't know if I'm just a bit, I don't know if I'm too embarrassed to or whether you shouldn't, but so I think it's all just trial and error really. I mean, when I release new scents, I've started sort of doing it as a teaser and like a guessing game, and then I'll send out some free ones to the people that guess. Yeah, I mean, I thought people would get really annoyed by it, to be honest.
And even like your raffles you do, like the amount of entries at the beginning, I remember like
it's mental.
6-7 people entered, and now it's like over 30 people are entering.
I think the biggest thing about retail at the minute, especially online retail, is like audience participation. Yeah, so I think that's why people love your story so much, just to get involved, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I've never been, when I first started it, I remember my sister saying, oh, we should do like a Facebook Live. And I couldn't think of anything worse. I thought, absolutely not. I'd never. And I still haven't, to be fair. It's not something I would not say no to. But I started just sort of like doing some videos and like posting them on my stories and stuff. And I thought I'd get a couple of negative comments, but it would be mainly good. But I've not had any, I mean, I'm sure people, you know, probably have things to say, but yeah, for now it's just been, I've had lots of people just say like it's nice to have a face to the business and stuff, and I think I didn't really realize how many people I had, like customers that didn't actually know me until I started posting like proper stories and stuff. So it's quite cool, it's quite nice to just, you almost like make friends with people. I know that sounds silly because I'm taking their money, but
mine included, darling. Like,
you almost like build a relationship with people. Yeah. Like, I know. I've got
but
this
that's like cool. that's the pro of small business, I suppose. Like compared to like what you usually do in your full time job, because you run.
Yeah.
Thing with Chloe is she is probably one of the most hardworking girls. Like, I don't think she sleeps.
Stop it.
You work a full time job and then like you're doing your like own small business shit. It's just mad to me. And I remember you always saying in sixth form, I really want to own my own business. Like, I don't care. That's something on my bucket list. Yeah. And that's so lovely that you've been able to do that. And
just a bucket list tick.
Like, I remember you saying to me when you first started, like, oh my God, someone in like Ireland has ordered from me. Like, this is weird. Like, how it grew.
It is crazy. It's crazy.
Where's the furthest order you've had?
I've literally had from Cornwall to the Highlands in Scotland, like everywhere in between. I have a lot of people from Manchester, actually, like excluding Sophie. Lots of people in Manchester.
Yeah, just mean so. Multiple counts.
Just lots of orders. No, but I've had people, I had someone from Germany and someone from France message to ask, but I worked out shipping and stuff and it would have cost them more in shipping than it would have for the product. So they went with someone a bit more local, I think, but
It's just a backtrack, like talking about how people like to see you on video and stuff. I think that's so important because even like when you think about big massive brands, like we'll shop from people just because we like their morals or like we like what they stand for. So it's exactly the same with a small business.
Yeah,
it's so much more personable as well.
Yeah
I don't know, I think I'm just I mean I know that now, but at the time it was kind of like, it was so scary. You just think everybody's going to be talking about you. And I mean, I'm not going to lie, I've got a few people blocked on my story, like a couple of people from work, because I just think there's no, like, just nothing good will come of it. Like, you only, you know.
They're just a hater.
You know what I mean? I just don't, cut it out.
Yeah, how do you find putting yourself out there? Because obviously before you kind of hid behind the logo, Chloe & Co, and like you were just kind of like, that was you. And now obviously you're putting your face out there. How do you find doing that? Are you starting to enjoy it more now? Or was it one of the things like, oh, I've got to do it?
No, definitely. I think, I don't really know. I was driving home one night and I might have even been listening to your podcast. I'm not sure. But I just remember thinking, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it when I get home. I'm just going to speak to myself.
Just do it.
You've got absolutely nothing to lose, mate. And as for the people that you've blocked on your story, they're still following you. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So they're still fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or they're there to make fun. Who knows? But no,
you're
yeah,
the one getting the cheddar.
I just think it's, I don't know. I just think you can explain things so much better and you come across so much more genuine, I think, when you can actually like sort of talk to someone. And I know on my home account, I love just listening to people talk, like, you know, I don't know about anything, cleaning or anything. So I just thought to myself, well, if I, that's how I see it, then why would anyone see mine any different? I think it's just day by day, though. If I start getting some hate for it, then I might stop it. Who knows?
No, do it more and tag them and be like, hi, morning.
Yeah, no,
I would. No, don't add fuel to the fire. But you know what? People just hate like that and take the piss. They're just jealous. If they see people like doing well for themselves.
Thing is, Claire, like you've got such good interaction, I think, especially on your page, and that is through becoming through a bit more personable and showing your face and having that interaction. That's probably something that we probably need to like work on with ours. Instead of like we post a lot of quotes, which we love, and our audio, because maybe like we do need to like show our faces, because obviously this is just an audio platform. You can't see us, thank God, because I look like trash. But
I guess
we're talking about making reels.
Yeah, we need to.
Wow.
But again, it's putting yourself right in the out there.
Yeah.
Because you know, when you watch TikToks and reels and you think, oh, they look so cool, but if I do it, everyone's going to be like, what the fuck is she doing?
Literally. No. Yeah. I don't know. But I think for you guys, it is a little bit more personable anyway, because you're like talking genuinely and you can't kind of get a feel for you guys straight away. Whereas with me, it was literally just like an account. And I had a few people message me and they were like, oh my God, I didn't actually realise there was a person behind the account. And I was kind of thinking, what was it in disguise? Or, you know, I don't know. But it's nice.
Also, we spoke about this with Joey last week, but do you find it hard to kind of switch off from your Chloe & Co. account, like from your social media, or like you constantly, obviously that people order through you that way, but does it get to a certain point or a certain time of the night where you're like, right, I need to switch off now, I need to like...
I think that's something that I've always, I'm going to say struggled with. I don't see it as a struggle. Ryan would disagree. my main job, you have to be on 24/7. You know, if someone calls you with a problem, you've got to answer it. So the only time I really have to switch off is when I am at work. Obviously, I work, you know, sort of 8, 9, 10 hour shifts. So I can't. I mean, we get a break, but I just think when you're taking orders from people and messaging people, you don't really want to start and then have to stop. So I tend to just not really reply to anyone while I'm at work, just because I like to, you know, if they want pictures or anything like that, I just would leave it. But yeah, luckily I've not really been in that position. I thought about getting a website and that kind of thing to just so people don't have to wait for me to reply. But I don't know. I just don't think it would be as personable. I don't know.
I
thought about Etsy, but I just think at the moment I'm not paying any sort of commission or anything like that, and I'm not trying to be cheap, but I just think if I don't need to, then
it's manageable,
and to be honest, it's just a nice I definitely, if I had a website on Etsy or something, I would get more orders for sure. Just because personally if I fancy something on an Instagram account and I see that they don't have a website, I probably won't order from them, which is terrible because that's how, you know, you don't order for a website with me. But so I know I would get more orders, but I don't know. I think I've got a good balance at the moment. I'm not necessarily looking to massively expand, or I just think it's nice to be able to do opportunities like this and, you know, have time for it and still balance my home life and my work life and not neglect anything at the moment. So I've got a good balance.
So obviously your full-time job, you're a manager at one of probably the biggest companies in the world. Do you find that by running a small business, when you go back to like your full-time job, it highlights things that you think, oh, I miss my small business? Or are there things that, do you know what I mean? Do you find that it's highlighted different things that you're not?
Yes and no, because what I do in my day job is exactly the same as what I do with Chloe & Co. Like I run a small company and I run a massive company. So although, you know, I'm not the CEO or anything, but, you know, a lot of the day-to-day decisions I have to make. And I do go through, I guess you have to go through other people, but I wouldn't say I dislike that. I don't, you know, it's kind of nice to just get a second opinion on things and, you know, that kind of, yeah, I don't know. I think the main difference would be just people, how you're treated. Yeah. It's just absolutely mental how differently customers treat you. Like with a small business, I've never had anyone be rude or nasty or, I mean, I've forgotten things, for example, on orders, and people are so nice about it. Like I've even had people say, oh, don't worry about sending it. Just when I put another order in, put it in there. And then you get other people, if you miss things in my other job, they're like, threaten you and say they're going to be waiting for you after work. It's mental.
Oh,
it's
my just, God.
It's crazy.
Wow.
It really is.
I think that's another thing that ties into the small business and knowing that there's a person behind the brand, because it's like when you see who you work for, you just see the logo, don't you? And you just like the big company that you work for, you see the logo and you think, well, they've got plenty of money. You don't think about that person that the person behind it.
You just know that's, I think that's something not just working for a big company, but probably owning a small business has like opened my eyes to, because ultimately it's people behind it, whether it's the owner or the people running it, or if anything, managing a big business is harder because you can't control everything. You know, you've got a lot of other people involved. Well, I don't know. I get so many complaints and it's like, I understand mistakes happen, but. And it is always like a, but it's a joke, but it's ridiculous. And it's just like, okay, don't raise your blood pressure. I understand, because we've always, we've all had an order or ordered some clothes or something and something's not right, or it's frustrating for sure. But I don't know, I just think, would you talk
in the grander scheme of things, you know,
it's not that deep.
Be sorted.
Mm. No, I just think ultimately there's a person behind it.
Yeah. I think that's what it is as well. Like,
be kind.
I think people, I think that's it. And I feel like if you were to, like, if someone was to give you hate or abuse or something over your small business account, like you'd be able to see that person and see their account and
that's the thing,
who they are. Whereas I feel like at your job, people just look right through it and
come
and go. They're not gonna get
it. They just see the brand, they see the money
that's
the brand.
What I mean, they just see the logo.
Affect them.
Yeah.
They just see the logo and
I think that's so wrong though, because you would think over an accountant you would be a lot more prone to be rude than to literally someone's face. I had a lady the other day, she had Be Kind on her jumper, and I've never been shouted at like that before in my life.
Joking.
And I looked at her and I just wanted to say, love your jumper. Like, honestly, it's just mental though, isn't it? It's like, it's just like preaching, oh, be kind, be nice. Mm. And then you think that, you know, I'm probably looked at in my day job as like the bottom. And that, I think that just says a lot about
society.
A person. Yeah.
How do you navigate being like a female boss, like a female manager? Do you find that like you get treated differently by customers or like by your colleagues, or how do you like find that industry being a woman?
I don't know. I think I have so many different opinions on this because I've had so many different experiences. I think,
because obviously you get like the boss being a boss, and women always get classed as bossy. And you know, it's the different.
That's the main thing. That's the main thing. I mean, when I first getting promoted and stuff at a young age, it's hard to just decide who you want to be, how you want to be. Like, I think at the moment, I'm a completely different person inside and outside of work. And that's just how I've got to be. Because if someone says they don't like me, to me, I'd get quite hurt. I don't know why. I don't necessarily crave approval, but if someone said, oh, I don't like you, I'd be like, oh my God, why? I'd want to make it right. But at work, you've got to be, because people will just dislike you for whatever, you know, who likes their boss? Yeah. I guess, you know, some people will, some people won't. You just, ultimately, you have to make tough decisions that not everybody's going to like. So
go on, finish, then I'll start.
I do find that women, or me compared to my male counterparts, are definitely labelled as gossipy, or not gossipy, but maybe bitchy or bossy a lot more than if my male colleague would do exactly the same thing or make exactly the same decision. I find in the past I've had to look for backup from my male bosses to sort of just say. I will say though, I have an amazing support system in my sort of hierarchy. So there's like five of us at the top, and I'm the only female, and all four of the other guys are amazing with stuff like that. You know, just they'll just make that person look silly, be like, well, why couldn't you have listened to her? Why couldn't you, you know? Mm. But yeah.
What was I going to say? It's gone now.
Sorry.
But I think that's just the thing about, like, I like my boss, but I know what you mean. It's rare. But as the boss, who cares? Because at the end of the day, they have to respect you. And if that means they don't like you, who cares?
Yeah. That's the thing, though. But for a long time, I did care. And it was just like, why don't you like me? Like, I took it really personally. But mm-hmm. it might be that they actually just don't like the job role, and that has nothing to do with me. But, or, you know, they don't like their pay, or I don't know. But I think for a long time, I took it really personally, and it was hard to just manage everything, because you take it all home with you as well, and you're like, oh my god, why don't people like me, and all this kind of stuff. So I just have to almost be put on a bit of an act when I'm at work. Like people, I don't know a lot of people, not a lot of people that I work with, I don't hang out with outside of work, but when I do, people are like, oh my god, you're so different, this is so weird. Yeah, literally, because I agree.
I think you do, like, especially with customer-facing jobs as well, you have to put on a persona, like, everything is fabulous and everyone's, you know, because if you show 1 ounce of, like, weakness, you'll get those customers and they'll be like, you, I'm targeting you today. You're being kind jumper. Not so kind after all, are you, darling?
Not so kind, are you, Belinda?
Belinda.
I think as well, that kind of runs its course with, like, creative work as well. Like, I know I can speak for it, and I'm pretty sure Britt can too, but, like, you have to disassociate yourself with your work. Say if I bring something to the table at work and they're all like, I don't like it, you feel like you, like, oh, you get really upset about it. It's like, they're saying about the work, not you. And it's nothing personal towards you. It just doesn't fit into what they're looking for. But you take it to heart, and you're like, how can I fix it? How can I?
And I think that's where women, especially women in, like, senior roles, get labelled as emotional, or, you know, like that kind of thing, because we're not emotional, we're passionate. And a man would get labelled as passionate, but a woman would get labelled as emotional, and it's more of a negative. And it's not that, it's just we care just as much. We just maybe have a different way, or maybe we care too much sometimes, I don't know. But yeah.
Well, I think you'd be a great boss, Claire. I think you'd be quite a cool boss.
Oh, thanks. I'd like to think so. I think it just depends, doesn't it? I mean, it's just depends what the situation is. Yeah. But then you just run the risk of, see, for me,
I think you could be too friendly. Scary. I think you could be. Fingers of Chloe, like, I think she's all friends and banter, but you piss her off. Oh, you know.
No, see, for me, I mean, well, yeah, that is true. Yeah. But that's more of a personal life thing. Whereas at work, you just have to stay very, like, level-headed. And that's the thing. I don't think at my day job, I don't think anyone would label me as, like, angry or...
No.
Maybe scary, I don't know. I just think that it's hard. It's hard because, for me, I take different situations differently. So if we're, you know, if there's the opportunity to have a bit of a laugh, I will. But sometimes then that gets twisted to, oh, she'll have fun with that person, but not me. Where actually it's like, no, you just went in a situation where I could. But then it's like, do I just be cold all the time? So it's hard to navigate, but you know.
I feel as well, like, in your personal life, like, you are very much like, if someone pisses you off, you can cut them. Like, you're a Virgo. Yeah. Like, if someone pisses you off, they're gone. Like, see you later. Yeah. Whereas I feel like in your workplace, you can't do that. You can't be like, right, you're on fries for the next 5 months.
That's the thing. A lot of people would be surprised at you saying that I work with, just because if something happens, you have to come in the next day and completely forget that it's happened. Yeah. Like, there are no grudges. And if a situation happens with someone, you've almost got to be really, not really nice to them, but you've got to make sure they don't feel like you're holding a grudge with them. Whereas personally,
oh God,
see you later. No, yeah. I just haven't got the time. I don't even want to have an argument with you. I'm just, see you later.
Yeah.
I've had conversations with people and they're like, oh, you're being ridiculous. I'm like, I don't care. I'm not even going to argue with you. I don't care for it. See you later. I just can't be bothered. There's no, oh, I don't know.
No, no, you've always been like that. And I do. The thing is with Chloe is that we had that, you know, we've had friendship fallouts, not with us, but with other people. And Chloe has been able to suss them out 6 months before. And she's told me, just to let you know, I won't be talking to this person because of this. And the stupid bitch I am, I'm like, oh, I'll keep the peace. I'll keep the peace. 6 months down the line, I'm thinking, I should have listened to you.
So many times. No, but you shouldn't, because you've got to make your own. And that's the thing. I'm not one to be like, right, girls, follow me or don't. But also, I just haven't got the time. You know, I'm going to distance myself from them, just so you know, in case they ask. you do you. And I would rather it happen like that, because I don't ever want anyone to feel like, oh, why aren't you friends with them? Or because Chloe wasn't, or because my friend wasn't. It's just,
but it pisses me off because you're always right, and it pisses me off. I'm like, oh, for God's sake, she's right again.
I don't know why. Maybe it's just because people don't like me that much, so they don't care about showing their true colours in front of me. I don't know.
No, you're just a very good judge of character. Okay, so this week on our Instagram, we asked you for some opinions, and you definitely delivered. So the first question, when is it okay to fart in front of your partner? Girls, what do we think? Let it rip?
I just think the sooner the better.
So do I. Listen, everyone's got gas.
Yeah, it's normal. I mean, I get, you know, when you have like really, really bad ones, I get trying to like hold them back, but like... The sooner the better, just get them out.
Just be modest about it. Listen, don't cock your leg and give it the large fries and just make it fake. But, you know, if you just got, you know what I mean? Make it feminine.
See, mine are silent but deadly, though.
You're fucking better. Yours are hot, mate.
They're not all right, genuinely.
Chloe, when did you fart in front of Ryan? What was his reaction?
You know, I can't remember. I feel like my answer to this question and what I do on the daily would be completely different. I don't know. I think let them do it first and then it's all good. Don't make a big deal over them doing it, and then it's an open door and you're good to go.
Just let them go. Let them rip.
Listen, if you do it and follow it with a smirk, they're going to have to laugh, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think ultimately they've got to see you at their worst, so it's better to know early days.
Exactly.
If they can't handle it.
Yeah.
I mean, a fart isn't even the worst.
Do you know what I mean?
Something rude. But what's the worst?
This is just the beginning.
Well, say if you get like food poisoning, diarrhea, that's worse.
Yeah.
A fart is nothing. It's just a bit stinky. Yeah.
And end of the day, like, as soon as you get in that doggy position, you're going to have a fanny fart at some point anyway. It's going to come out. Let's have it right, girls. It's going to come out. So you might as well
normalize it.
Free the fart. Hashtag free the fart.
Free the queef. Oh my God.
Okay. This is taking a turn. I didn't prepare for this.
Also, can I just tell a story, right? I remember.
Oh my God, follow
when
up.
When me and Russell like first got together, I was asleep. We were both asleep, and I did a fart on my sleeping network, us both up. It wasn't smelly, but you know, it made me jump. It was really bad. It made me jump. Gosh, it was so loud.
What did he say?
He just woke up. He was like, what was that? I was like, I don't know. If it was a fart, I'm not spilling anything.
I'd have blamed it on Ryan. I feel like I'd be like, are you joking? Are you joking? You don't know what that was.
But it wasn't like, it was quite a sharp sound. It wasn't like drawn out, but it was loud.
Like a burp.
So like, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you just woke up and heard it, you'd be like, what was that?
You'd be like, excuse the fucking self. You woke me up.
Yeah. It startled me. I literally jumped.
I can hear Russell going, oh my God. Oh my God. You're right, Claire. You've got a little disco going on.
I think Ryan's playing with the lights. He's having me on. clearly, he heard me talking about him. Making a pretty, it's like a poltergeist.
Yeah.
I mean, or you can just take my advice on the farting and just do it when they're sleeping. And then when they wake up,
Yeah. So the next dilemma, if a guy cheats, should I forgive him if he claims he is sorry?
You're only sorry you got caught.
No. I just think when a boy cheats, I just don't think they have respect for you, because I feel like you need to have that mutual respect. Like, if you're not in it, you're not vibing it, then just drop yourself out. Like, don't put each other through that, because then it affects the other person when then going on to the next relationship.
Yeah. And plus, like, if he didn't have any respect for you in the first place when he cheated, do you think he's going to have respect for you when you take him back after you've cheated?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
I feel like this is where you need good friends, though. Because I'm like, my answer to this, again, and what I was probably do is, like, completely different. The advice I would give my friends and what I would do myself would be the opposite. Because if Ryan cheated on me, I do not know what I'd do. It would be, I would need my friends to, like, pull me out of the situation for me to be able to see it for what it was. But I just think, thinking about it on the outside, there's absolutely no way. Like, if you wouldn't do it to them, then don't allow it from the other side.
If they apologise, you could forgive them, but I don't think you'd ever forget. And I feel like girls hold on to things. And like, I think you commented, Chloe, saying, like, you just keep, like, if you had an argument, you bring it up. And it's like, you're always going to have that to hold against them in a way. And then it just becomes bitter and resentment, like, resentful.
I would bring it up in everything.
Yeah.
Like, if he asked me to wash dishes.
Every argument.
If he asked me to wash dishes, I'd be like, oh, yeah, like, you're washing hair last weekend, yeah. I'd be literally bringing it back, like, everything I would bring back to that, which isn't good. It would make everything even more toxic, but...
Can you clean the pipes on my car? What, like, you cleaned her pipe?
You walked the dog, like, you walked her dog.
Look at that lovely pussy, let me stroke it, like, you stroked her pussy. That was a bit rude, cut that out of us.
No. I just don't think. I think as well, every girl has insecurities. I just think the most confident person in the world is insecure about something, and you would just be thinking he cheated because of that, and it would just like escalate it, and you would just never... The only way you could get over that insecurity or get over it is to get over him.
And not only that, like, I think even if you did take him back and it was fine, it's just never going to be the same love, is it? Like, you're never going to feel as happy and content and, like, secure in a person as you would have.
Yeah, because you're always going to have that thought at the back of your head, like, what if?
But again, even, I mean, like, even if you don't think it's there, subconsciously it probably is.
I feel like as well it takes a toll on a person, because say if you take a person back, the whole time you're thinking, is everyone looking at me thinking I'm stupid? Is everyone looking at me and being like, why has she done this? Why has she done that? When it's like... Everyone wants the best for you a situation, but, like, I feel like it mentally takes a toll on that person that way, as well as worrying about what your boyfriend could do next, but worrying about what people think of you for taking him back, especially if you if everyone knows what's happened.
Yeah. And I feel like as well, like, even say you forgave them, I don't think my mum or my family or my friends would forgive them. And I think I take their, like... judgment. I'd have to listen to... I don't know, I think I couldn't be happy knowing that my friends and family just had... Do you know what I mean? If they really did you dirty, I just...
All it takes is a couple of wines at a family party and the fireworks start going
bang bang bang,
the wine comes out, the truth comes out.
I feel like as soon as, like, your mum doesn't like them, that's it.
Yeah, that's enough.
They gotta go. Trust
your
mum.
Ran that warning straight away.
Yeah. You cross me, you cross Les.
I just think you're almost, like, losing a bit of, maybe not respect for yourself. I don't want to be, because I've never been through it, so I can't be too harsh with my opinion, but I just think if you forgive, you're allowing that to happen again. You're opening yourself up for, I don't know, just it just doesn't sit right with me knowing women put up with that, and men as well, like, knowing that men take women back. That's just not...
It's like a kid hitting, like, their younger sibling and you're not punishing for it, so they think, oh yeah, it's okay.
It's like,
and they'll do that,
and it's just it's putting someone else in before yourself as well, because you're never gonna be... you're just being back with them because you love them so much, and, like, you just want them to be happy,
but they don't love you.
But then, girls, look at Beyonce and Jay-Z. That was a very public cheating scandal, and now they're back together, had two more kids, stronger than ever, the way it looks. Obviously, as we know, nothing is the
way it
looks.
I feel like when people have kids, though, it brings another whole element into things.
But you
have to be like, do we work for it, or is it...
It definitely brings another element into it, like, oh, it's harder to leave that person. But then also, you're not just cheating on your wife, you're cheating on your family. Like, that's a betrayal. If, like, my dad was to cheat on my mum, I would feel betrayed.
Even now.
You know what I mean? So he's like, it's deeper because they had kids. It's like, you really don't have respect. You do not have respect for the mother of your children.
Mm-hmm. For the family unit.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, you know, if you're not happy,
there's a peaceful way to leave this in a, where everyone can be.
Can heal.
Can heal and be mutual with it.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. If Beyonce gets cheated on, where does that leave us?
In the fucking gut.
She might have dead banter, you know.
Yeah.
Beyonce's probably got it, but her personality, but no one ever does her on Snatch Game because her personality ain't there.
I think she's got personality, but I don't think she wants. Yeah.
Mm. It's not on her. That's him. It's not like, you know, I completely agree, but we should be thinking what a moron he is. Do you know what I mean? Not like, I don't know. I'm not explaining
it's
it well.
It's kind of like, people always think, oh, what did Beyonce do wrong? But actually it's like, oh, no way. Yeah. What did Jay-Z, like, what was going through his ears?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it kind of makes you think like, oh, like if Beyonce got cheated on, I've got no chance. But also Jay-Z is just, I don't think he's got a lot of respect for, obviously. I mean, you saw how Solange went through him in the elevator. That's all I'm saying.
But they should
and that would be me, warning Russell.
Yeah. But people should be thinking, nobody can be with Jay-Z. If Jay-Z would cheat on Beyonce, then no one can be with him. Do you know what I mean? You should be looking at it the other way around, not.
Yeah. I think it comes back to almost like girls will always blame themselves. Because I feel like, I was thinking about this today, I don't want to think about the amount of times that I say, oh, sorry, at work. And it's like,
What am I sorry for?
Yeah. Like, if I walk into someone, I'm like, oh, God, I'm so sorry. Or like, if I get in someone's job, I'm like, oh, sorry. But I'm like, do boys say that as well? Like, the same amount of times as me? I feel like girls are constantly apologising for shit that we don't need to apologise for.
But it's the same with if someone cheated, like, with Ryan. If I say I walked in on him, I would go straight for her. I wouldn't. But why is that? Maybe because I know I can deal with him later. I don't know. But you would, wouldn't you?
That is so true, because it's like,
you go for the girl.
Hang on a minute. She's not the one that's fucking married to you. Yeah, she's not the one that has loyalties for you. You should go for him. But I know what you mean. I'd be the same.
Maybe she didn't know. Maybe he lied to her. Maybe he said, this is my house and I ain't got anyone. I don't know. Maybe, but you just would.
That's my sister's candle company. <Poor Chloe.
laughs> You want to take a scent home with you? Goodie bag.
Yeah. This one's called You Shagged My Husband. Put that in your living room, smoke it.
No, I'm laughing about it, but I will cry later.
No.
I would
never.
No, he would never, because he knows he'd die.
Yeah, I believe you.
Watch the lights change. Red.
So what do you feel like, girls? Don't take them back. What's never done is done.
Never.
I think it depends on the person, but I just personally don't think it's ever going
to
work.
I think I'd want to, but I would just never be able to get over it, and I'd make that relationship hell for both of us.
Even if I could, Annie and Seth couldn't. Yeah,
I would. I would. It wouldn't be fair on him how much of, like, for the next 40 years I would make his life hell. It would be fair on him in the end. Do you know what I mean? I mean, he'd deserve every second of it, but
still. We touched on this a couple of weeks ago, and obviously in the news at the minute, it's come to the forefront, which I think is very important. So talking about, obviously, female safety. So we asked you guys, what is something you do on a regular basis to stop being approached by men/keep safe? It's actually quite sad, the stuff that we got sent in. The problem is I think that, because it's so engraved in us, you don't second guess it. Like, when I get off my bus, I have one ear pulled out, I have my keys in my fist, and I'm keeping very vigilant. And I don't plan that. It's just natural. And I think that is, it's a shame it's had to get to that point, and the fact that it's normalized. So what do you girls think? Is there anything that you do that you don't think about, and now it's obviously everyone's discussing it online and between each other? Is there anything that you do to keep yourself safe? Any recommendations?
I always like, say if I'm going somewhere, I'll always, especially if I'm with you or if I'm on the phone to someone, I'll be like, I'll let you know when I'm home. Or I'll be on the phone to someone all the time. I remember mm-hmm. when I used to get off at my tram where my old flat was, I used to pretend to be on the phone.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh my gosh, yeah.
Then it starts ringing.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, isn't it so sad that we're having to like, not talk about it, because that's good. No, but that's good. More like you said, recommendations. And you're absolutely right. That's what it is. But isn't it sad that we're having to like, I don't know, discuss safety tactics?
Yeah. I wish we didn't have to discuss it. But
yeah. But thing is, there's only so much you can do to keep safe. Like I had a situation in my first flat when I moved up north where I had someone following me every morning when I went to work. And I used to like, every time I used to leave my front door in the morning, he'd be like walking to my door at that exact time every day. Got to the point where I'd be leaving out the back door. I'd be taking a different route to the train station. I'd be getting a train home because I think, oh, he won't be on that one. But like, and in my head, I thought I was going mad. When I was like telling people about it, I was like, oh, he's not approached me, did all this sort of stuff. I must be like just overthinking it because I'm living by myself. I must be paranoid. And then like 2 months later, I was walking down the high street, but there was no one else there. And he come up and approached me.
Did people make you feel like that though? Did people make you feel like, oh, you're just being dramatic?
Because I didn't know if I was being paranoid because I was living by myself.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, I kept seeing him. Like, it'd be a couple of occasions, like, where I'd kind of lose him on my journey. I'd take a different route. I'd get on the platform, he wouldn't be there. I'd get on my carriage, and then he'd be on my carriage, and I'd be like, I don't know where he's come from. Like, he literally was nowhere. Like, I'd look around the platform to make sure that he wasn't on. The end I was getting on, and then like he'd stand over me when I was sat down. Then one time I was coming back from Manchester to my flat, and he sat next to me and like proper spread his legs out, so I was proper like, up against the window. And you just feel in a position where like you can't like people. Yeah. I don't want to seem like I'm overreacting about someone man spreading, but for me it'd been like a build up of things. And then I thought. Yeah. I hadn't seen him for a while. And I thought, oh, I'm just going a bit like, I think I'm just being paranoid because I'm living by myself. I'm obviously going to be extra cautious because of that. And then one day I was walking back to my flat from the train, was on the high street. No one was there. And I knew he was behind me, but I just thought I just got to keep walking because he was always behind me. And he like kind of caught up and approached me and was like, hi. And I was just like, hi. And he was like, I can't, again, it's such a blur. I remember after it, I literally just, I froze on the spot and told him to leave me alone because I refused to walk another step with him walking with me. But I remember him saying one of the things that like rung true that I can remember. He was like, oh, how old are you? And I was like, you don't need to know that. He's like, where do you work? I see you on the train every day. Where do you work? And I was like, you don't need to know that about me. I don't know you. And he's like, how old are you? I was like, it doesn't matter. He's like, you're 16. It's legal. It's fine. Like he didn't speak much English. I don't know whereabouts in the world he was from. So like he was using very like rough English, and he was like, oh yeah, I see you every day on the train, I really like you. And I was just like, leave me alone. I literally froze on myself. I was like, leave me alone. And he was like, why, it's 16, you're legal. I was like, I said, I'm not moving. I said, leave me alone. And he walked away.
It's like, what does age have to do with it? What about consent? Who cares if it's legal?
He's literally thinking like the legal sex age is obviously 16 in the UK. That's all he cared about. And that just confirmed that like I wasn't being paranoid for months. Like what I was experiencing was like genuine someone. Like it literally got to the point where I'd have to get a later train. I had to tell my work because I was just like, I'm in a bit of a predicament where like if I'm late to work that I can't help it, like I genuinely don't want to leave. Like it would get to the point where I'd have to leave at maybe like 7:30 every day at my house to get to the train station for 7:45, and every time I'd be at my front door, he'd be literally the house before me walking, and he'd walk and follow me. And it was just like,
so he even knew where you lived.
But then the worst thing for me was about all of this. After like we had that confrontation, I never saw him again. So I was thinking, was he just getting the train to Manchester every day to follow me? Because I never saw him again, ever. He never come out on my door. I never saw him on that train again. And obviously I was super vigilant because I was scared.
So never, what happened when you says like, I'm not moving until you stop talking to me? Did he just go in the end?
Well, I just stood there and was just like, leave me alone. I said, I don't want to talk to you. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. And he was just like, but you're legal. Like your legal age. I really like you. Like, let me know. Like, and I was like, no, leave me alone.
So did you just walk off in the end then?
I stood there and he walked, and then I walked, and then I literally called Russell like in tears, like shaking, because I was just didn't know what to do. I think you weren't you and Frey not on my flat. You were at my flat like a few days later or something. I'm not sure if you were there. Might have been like a week after. But
do you find with situations like that though, like before it got like, you know, towards that, like when you were telling your friends and family and stuff, did you feel like they were like taking it seriously, or they were sort of a bit like, oh, don't be dramatic, you'll be all right?
I didn't tell my mum or dad.
You didn't tell me until after it happened.
Yeah, I didn't. I remember telling Russell, because I always used to be on the phone to Russell if he was walking behind me, and Russell would be like, yeah, just stay on, blah, blah, blah. Because I remember the first time like we had like an interaction, I was walking home and there was this like guy with a hood up, and he was just getting closer and closer, and I was thinking, fucking hell, this is it, like I'm just gonna be on the phone to Russell. And the second I got on the phone, he crossed the road.
Was it
and
him?
that was the same guy. And then like it all like stemmed from there. So every time like, I saw him, I was just on the phone, or like I put my earphones in and I didn't play anything, because I thought, I want to hear what you're saying if you're going to say something, like if you're on the phone to someone. So that's another thing I do. So I'd kind of like, I look like I'm not aware, but I'm very aware.
Yeah,
that's terrifying. But I didn't know the extent of it.
But I remember, like, I think I told my dad after it happened, and he was like, one of his friends knows someone in the police force, and they're like, you have to report it, because they have to report the first, so they can just keep track of it. So if it happens again, they can put it as another thing, another thing, another thing. But
the thing is, though, that's what you're told. But I mean, I've never done it myself, so I can't, like, you know, have too much of an opinion, but I just think if you were to call the police or, you know, whatever, and sort of say like a man followed me home, or like was behind me for 5 minutes and then I got in my house and he went away, they would probably just laugh at you. Do you know what I mean?
What can anyone do? Like, did you know his name, Anne? How can you report him? You don't know who he is. Like, the police, like, it's awful and they should keep track of it. But realistically, what can the police do? Because they haven't committed any... Well, they've followed you.
Well, this is the thing. They were like, what nationality is it? I was like, I don't know. I just know he had very broken English.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I could say. But then I think all they had was a police car, like, on my street, kind of, like, the next morning just to check. But that was it.
Yeah.
Wow. But like, it's only like,
but the thing is, even if they were to pull him in to the car and say, what are you doing, he could turn around and be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Because the thing is, until that moment he hadn't done anything to me. He just seemed very like I remember, I don't know who I was talking about, and they were like, oh, do you think he might have like maybe had learning difficulties? Like, I was just like, well, regardless, it doesn't matter, because like, you don't, if I'm telling you to leave me alone, don't keep persisting for me to like talk to you. Like, I'm telling you to leave me alone.
It's so clear what his intentions were when he said, you're 16, it's legal. That just says it all.
Something similar happened to me, actually. I've only just remembered it. Not me personally, but just when it was during high school. But some guy just used to walk by my house all the time. And we have like quite a big open plan garden. And he would just come up to the wall, because it was kind of like chest high, and just talk to us. And like, there was like four kids. And my mum would always be out there, but obviously she was kind of like, I've got four kids here, how do I defend everyone? And my dad would say to her, like, you're being a bit dramatic, like, calm down, you know, he's just probably being friendly. And then it got to the point where, like, you know, he was saying weird stuff, and he would come every day. And when my dad's car was there, he wouldn't come. So my dad parked his car around the corner. And then when he came, my dad came out and, you know, like, whatever. But then we found out that he had been inviting girls into his house, and he had had young girls, like, you know, under 16 girls in his house and stuff. And it really annoyed me. I remember, because obviously my mum protected me from a lot of the details, but I remember he got labelled as just like someone with learning difficulties, like someone that just, he didn't know what he was doing, whatever. But to me, if you're only coming when my dad's car's not there, you're not with it. You know what you're doing.
So. And you know it's wrong.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
This is the thing, like, what I remember telling my dad about it, and he was like, well, now, he was like, have you seen him now? You've confronted him. I was like, no. He's like, well, he probably knows that what he did was wrong. I was like, yeah, but you shouldn't have to take to the point where, like, I'm still on the street, frozen in fear, nearly in tears, refusing to move, because I was like, I don't want to carry on walking, and then I get shoved in the back of a fucking car. I want to stand where CCTV can see me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not moving from this spot.
It's just that defensiveness.
And again, he approached me when it was just me and him on the street. There was no one else around. So it's like, again,
Yeah.
Like every other time there's been people on a train or people walking to work at the same time. Like
that's so scary that the minute you told him to stop, you never saw him again. That's scary.
Yeah, that's what really freaked me out, because I thought, were you just getting on the train every morning, commuting to watch me? Like, that's fucked up to me.
Yeah.
But this is what I mean. There's only so much you can do. Like, I literally, like I said, I took different routes. Like, left my house at different times. There's only so much you can do to keep yourself safe until, I can physically do no more.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just scary, though, because, you know, like, in a way, you're lucky that when you did tell him no, you didn't see him again. Yeah. Like, really, if he wanted what he wanted, what could you have done to stop him? Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that's the scary part.
Well, that was my freaking lanyard, mate.
Yeah.
The thing we need to take away from this is just look out for each other. Like, if you see a girl being confronted by someone and they look uncomfortable, or a boy, or, you know, whatever...
Yeah.
Like, just look out for each other, because that could be, you know, what happened to Sarah Everand.
Well,
that could be your sister. That could be your, you know.
I heard that, I'm not sure if it's true, if someone at work told me, so it could be fake news. But apparently, because he was a Metropolitan Police officer, weren't he? And apparently he, what's it called? He like exposed himself to
indecent
her.
Exposure.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. 3 days before.
Mm-hmm.
Was it her?
I don't know.
Don't think it was her, but I think he did it in like a, I don't know, somewhere like a cafe or something like that.
Because they're investigating the officers that investigated that too, like as part of the... I think as well, just like listening to each other. And even if your friend is being dramatic, just like listen.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah. Because maybe they are, and let's hope that they are. Let's hope that they're just being dramatic.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you have to go out of your way to walk with them for a few days or something, you know, I don't know. That's the thing as well. Like, what can we do?
And but this is the problem. Always keep a record, I think, so important. Like,
yeah.
So it's good that you reported that, Anne, because what if you didn't report it and then the next week he did something awful to you? Like, and there was no evidence of that.
Yeah.
And also, don't you feel like it's the same thing that we've spoken about, how girls will automatically tell themselves, oh, I'm being dramatic. No, you're not. Like, we've been fed to tell ourselves, you're being dramatic. Why are you overthinking this? We need to start taking, you know, even if it's someone following you, that's not okay. And like him, you know, asking them questions. No means no, period. There's no in between. That's it. Mm-hmm. Like, girls, you know, we all just need to start looking out for each other. And like you say, Chloe, just listening. And
do you not think though, like, obviously, I've spoken to Ryan about this sort of thing, and just if I were a male, I would probably be going out of my way to make sure I don't seem threatening. Like, I can't remember who I was talking to, but they were saying that they will literally cross the road if they see a woman approaching on their own. Like, if nothing else, just so they can't be accused of anything, but just to make them feel better.
Well, it's like Russell said, he was like, I don't know, if I saw a woman with a broken down car on the side of the road, whether I'd go and help her.
Yeah,
because I wouldn't want to pull over and her think that's it now. I'm done.
Yeah,
but it's like I probably would pull over and help a woman, but I would never pull over and help a man.
No, I wouldn't even. Just,
my dad said the same. He like, because you just don't know what could, like, you don't want to be accused of anything.
Yeah,
as a man. And at the same time, it's like, but you don't want to seem threatening. Yeah. It's like,
if you're a woman.
I wouldn't even, if I were driving home at night and I got pulled over, I probably wouldn't even stop. Like, I would slow down, put my hazards on, something, let them know that I know, but I wouldn't stop until I either got home or to a lit area. And I wouldn't, if I saw that it was a male police officer on their own, I probably wouldn't get out of my car. I always drive with my doors locked. I don't really know why, but I just do, you know. Which is kind of dangerous.
Thing. So do I. Yeah. Which is so dangerous, because if you crash, they can't get you out. But still, we're thinking, oh, someone might jump in at the traffic lights. Yeah.
What's worse? Not being able to get out of a crash or someone jumping in. And we make that conscious decision that we'd rather be stuck in a crashed car than... It's crazy, isn't it?
It's mad.
Yeah. I saw this tweet the other day and it kind of like, I thought, oh my God, shit. It said, this girl said, when she was 19, a guy grabbed my breast in a nightclub, so I slapped him across the face. Everyone gasped at me for slapping him, but no one gasped at him for assaulting me. This is what has been normalised. It's not acceptable. And isn't that crazy? Like,
that's normal for a nightclub, though. Like, boys literally, like, squeeze girls' asses for fun. Mm. And, like, me and Emily have had an experience where we've been in a nightclub. A boy we've known and who knew Russell was proper trying to get up behind me, dance. Me and Em told him multiple times, stop, stop, stop. And in the end, this group of boys ended up fucking beating the shit out of him. And he got kicked out. But to the point where, like, me and Em were, like, leave us alone, get away from us. And, like, he knew Russell. He was friends with Russell.
Who was it?
I can't remember his name. Just someone from the other, one of the housing things.
Guaranteed,
and
though.
The next day, Emily messages mum on Facebook.
I told her. Did I?
She didn't. Good.
Yeah, she did. To tell him that
what
it was
did
disgusting.
His mum say?
His mum says she'll be having a word with him.
Good. This is where it starts, though. Like, this is...
Get your passport
she was like,
down now, boy.
She was like... He's been kicked out, but nothing will happen with him. She was like, he's just going to get drunk, do the same thing again. Yeah. Em's like, right, I found him on Facebook. Now I'm finding his mum and I'm going to send her a message.
Too right.
But yeah.
They need to I be, bet she was yeah. so appalled when she got that message.
And I think he actually come around and like looked at her and like face-to-face apologised to us. It was really too awkward. Right.
Yeah, too right.
Well, if it was so bad to the extent that other men felt that they needed to step in.
What was worse, me and Em got really upset because the boys that beat him up got kicked out and they were defending us.
Mm-hmm.
And they were having it was such a good night, and because they could see us getting so like get away from us, leave us alone, they literally stepped in and he was like, I'm not doing anything, and then it just all like happened. They got kicked out and banned and he just got to carry on with his night. Oh, it was just like a joke.
So obviously we're still in kind of a lockdown, but what would be your top tip for someone who wants to start their own small business? What would be the tip that you'd give them?
I would say, I don't know if I've got one. I would just say, for me, I'm doing it. I'm not necessarily doing it for money. Like, it's nice, but if you're doing it for, like, profit and you're wanting to do it instead of your day job, you've got to do a lot of research. Like, I get so many people that message me asking for advice and stuff. And my advice is just do your own research, because my truth isn't the same for everybody. And you've got to be ready to answer anyone's questions and know anything. And as well, you've got to have your own spin on things. You can't just copy what other people are doing, because when it comes to problems, you're not going to know how to handle them.
True.
But I would say as well, you've just got to have a balance. Don't do it at the sacrifice of anything else. If it's going to sacrifice your time or your day job or anything like that, then don't do it. You've got to have a good wind down routine. You've got to be able to know yourself, I think.
What's your like go-to, like if you've had a bit of a stressful day, do you have like a little go-to self-care, like how do you unwind?
I think on an occasion, ice cream in the bath is the one.
Yes. Oh my god, Chloe, have you tried the new double decker ice cream?
No, I don't think so.
Oh well.
Oh, like the chocolate bar? No, we haven't. Snickers ice cream is for me.
Oh
Mars bar ice creams. You know Mars bar ice cream. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm real.
Yeah, but if you like that, you'll like double decker. You just need to try it.
I think it's important though to just
wish.
Be sponsored by double decker. I want to try an ice cream in the bathtub.
It's lovely. No, I think for me, I don't really have much of a routine. So you see on all these sites have a routine, like have wake up at the same time, go to bed. I don't have a routine because I just can't with my day job. I think the only consistency I have is like my bedtime routine. So even just like coming home and getting my pajamas on, having a cup of tea, anything like that, just something that's consistent. As well, sometimes that's the only time I get to talk to Ryan in the day. So it's just like having something in your day that you can look forward to, I guess, or something that's consistent. And I think as well, for me, before I go to bed, sometimes it's important to like think about the little wins. So I've heard a lot of people will like think about things they're grateful for example. I don't do that, but I think about just like little things that have happened in the day that I'm like happy with, even if it's something silly like, oh, I drank a lot of water today, well done me.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, just like take the little wins.
I think that is so important. I sometimes do it at the weekend. Like, I'll make a list. And even if I put have a bath, that's on my list. Yeah. And I'm ticking it. Okay. And it, yeah, you have to kind of congratulate yourself on little things like that, especially at the minute. Like, it's a hard time. Yeah. And I feel
getting
like
out of bed.
Getting out of bed, tick. We've done it.
Congratulations.
Get dressed. Get out. But it is sometimes those things feel the hardest.
Yeah. Brushing your hair.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Yeah. Honestly, though, I just think it's like, I don't know, it's even with the hardest days, you just, there has been something that you've done right. And I think it's important to remind yourself of the things that you've just done well that day.
Oh, you're so,
you're an inspiration,
so nice.
Chloe.
Oh, thank stop you. It. Drink that water. I don't know, on that though, I think being tough on yourself is a hard one, because you're productive. It makes you productive if you're hard on yourself. But also, it just means that you'll never succeed, because there'll always be something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're never going to look at yourself and think, I'm successful. Because you're always going to focus on the negatives. That's why it's important. Exactly. That's why it's important to just, I don't know, I just think of the last 5 years of my career, I'm happy with how it's gone, but I've not enjoyed the journey. And I don't feel sort of unhappy or anything, but I've never been happy with where I'm at, and I should have been.
You're always thinking about the next step.
Yeah. And I should have appreciated it more. But
they always say, like, you don't know you're in the good old days until you're not in them anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the truth, isn't it?
But that would just be my advice, like, for general life. Just, I don't know, take the little wins a little bit more.
Oh, I'm getting that tattooed on my arm.
So am I.
You've got bum cheek. Double deck ice cream. If you didn't eat the whole tub, that's a win. I left half the tub for tomorrow. Winner.
Well, yeah. You're always thinking about yourself.
Can't say I did.
Well, you know what? Then that's accomplishment as well. Well done for eating the whole thing.
That's a winner for my belly, let me tell ya. He enjoyed it.
So, girls, should we get on into our quotes of the week? Chloe, take it away. We're ready for your quote.
So, mine is actually a get it off your chest quote.
Oh, love it.
Represent.
Oh, yeah. So, strive for progress, not perfection. And that is something that I need to work on. So I have it as my screensaver. That hit me hard. When I read that, hit me hard. Because it's true. Everybody just thinks of the end goal. And I think it's as well because you don't celebrate each other on the journey. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't say congratulations, Soph, on doing 6 months in your job. I would say congratulations on getting that promotion. Do you know what I mean? But you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Progress, not perfection. Nobody's perfect.
Maybe.
Hannah Montana.
Love it. Oh.
Big up, Hannah.
Annie, what's your quote?
My quote is, may you blossom again when you are burnt out.
Love that.
And I think you'll appreciate the picture. It's like trio matches and the last one's got flowers.
Love that.
Take a nap. That match needs to
And I feel that because I feel like I'm getting to that burnt out. Not the sunburn where I want to be. Physically, I want to be burnt as in like sunburnt.
this is it. Taking time for yourself.
Yeah, don't let yourself get to that point.
Yeah.
Get some Nivea.
When you need. Oh, yeah.
Get some nuts.
What's that? Snickers.
You know yourself when you're hungry, darling.
Brittany, take it out.
My quote is a bit inspired by Chloe and Chloe. You know what I mean? Just in the story this week. The key to success is to start before you are ready.
Ooh.
One for the fans, isn't it, Chloe?
That's true, you know, you've got to build it. It's never going to be a finished article.
No, Rome won't build in a day.
Amen.
Exactly.
My one's just a short but sweet, but I think this is a nice one to end it with. Life is a honeymoon phase. So I think, like we were talking about, taking the little wins and just appreciating the good days. Because even on your bad days,
it's
still a good life, baby. I think everyone just feels like they have to kind of rush through life, but just
chill, baby.
Did she fart?
Yeah, did you not hear that?
I can't help it. I'm
surprised a double decker ain't coming out your pants.
Oh, God.
Double decker.
Oh, you're gonna have to go again. So
okay.
Double decker, double dicker.
I wish.
Okay, so Chloe, just a little quick question for all of the listeners out there. Is there anything on the horizon for Chloe and Co. Chebs coming up anytime soon?
What's next?
Chloe and Co.
What's next? We've got anything.
What was that? What did you just say?
What?
I don't know.
I mean, am I being left with this responsibility to announce?
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
Listen, there's a little collaboration, if you will, that I'm very excited for.
This way, we've been brainstorming, we've been sniff testing,
we've been trialing,
pouring, Chloe's been posting, we've been burning. I'm not talking Jonas Brothers.
I wish.
Long story short, there's a Chebs. Times Chloe and Chloe collaboration on the horizons and in your nostrils very soon.
Yeah, so when all of you listeners are there, you can, you know, pop a wax note on or pop a candle. Oh, did I just drop? We're doing candles as well.
Oh my god.
And you know, the ones that will look like aesthetically pleasing in your gaff, you know, perfect for that little Insta post.
Some that you might not burn. And some that you will just stick on the wax melt.
But if you do burn, they smell bloody lovely.
Oh.
And yes, also, Dad. None of the scents and none of the shapes you'll have seen before. From me, anyway.
Exclusive scents from Chloe and Co.
It's an exclusive.
If you love her scents, wait till you sniff these bad boys.
Everyone that's listening, if you don't know, get to bloody know, and you'll be seeing this a lot on our Instagram. But go and follow Chloe at Chloe and Co. Melts on Instagram. She's so interactive, it actually pisses me off because she's just, I don't know how she does it. She works a full-time job and she runs a small business and she's just amazing. And her products are all eco-friendly, vegan, don't eat them, but they smell lovely. And sometimes
sustainable packaging.
Yeah, recyclable.
All recyclable.
Love that.
I mean,
a girl, not only is she a boss woman, she's a woman that's thinking about the future.
Isn't
it? Mother Earth right here.
Literally. Mother Earth. Everyone, just go over there, support her, buy her products, and you'll be seeing a lot of exciting things very soon.
Yeah. I can't wait for you to smell them. Like, we've not even licked them, and they're in a box, and I can smell them from here.
Oh.
So, like, you know it's the good kush.
You had a vision.
It's not the good kush, but the good... You know.
So that's it for this week. Thanks again, Chloe. We've loved having you on. We'll have to have you back on for some dilemmas. So I feel like you've got more to give.
You're bringing it, babe.
Oh, so, thanks, guys.
We'll see you soon, I'm sure. And everyone, stay tuned for all the exciting stuff to come soon.
And as per usual, you know where we're at Instagram, at Get It Off Your Chebs Podcast. Give us a little rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you don't miss an episode, follow us on Spotify Podcast.
Cheeky.
Or Spotify, whatever.
Yeah. Turn on the notifications.
Yeah. Can we do that? Can we turn notifications? Yeah. Who knows?
We'll make it happen.
If there is a notifications button, turn it on. And, you know, every time we do a little ask me a question on Instagram, get involved. We love to hear from you guys.
Yeah, we won't spill any names. We won't judge. This is a safe space. We've all done what you've done, probably times 10 more embarrassing. Yeah. So,
I certainly have.
Let's be real. Right, guys. See you next week.
Bye.
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 Bye.